All right, I think we're going to pick up with verse number 3 again. I think that's where I left off last week. But the Bible says in Exodus 36, verse number 3, "And they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning." So this is a constant thing. And your service to the Lord, your work of the service, is supposed to be a constant thing. I do say that it's good to, I guess all of us, we all read our Bibles in the mornings. I don't know about other people, but in the morning is a good time. There's a lot of stuff that has to do with in the mornings. But it's every morning. You offer something to God every day. And it has to do with the service of the sanctuary. You know, if it wasn't for people doing some work, you're not going to have sanctuary. You know, we call this a sanctuary. I mean, I don't think it's nothing wrong with calling this a sanctuary. I mean, this is where we meet. But it takes people helping and people being active in the work. And one thing that's going on in churches today, I talked to a guy, I forget how old he said he is. I've known him since I was a kid, but I seen him, you know, across from the shop, you know, that Baptist church we went to when we was kids, right across from my shop. So I saw him out there working. He was trimming some trees and stuff. Yeah. He's in his 80s.
78.
Oh, is he? Well, I was thinking he was even, but I knew he was on up there. But anyway, we were talking, and he said, you know, he said, "I'm not worried because I know worrying's a sin," but he said, concern-wise, he said, "I'm concerned that as these older people dying off, if some young people don't start yielding," he said, "our church down here is made up mainly of older people." And he said, "now," he said, "in 10 years, we'll probably be with the Lord." And he said, if some younger people don't start doing something, you just going to have a bunch of churches where you go walk in there, maybe two or three people. And y'all, I tell you something, people can talk about all they want to, but you have funerals, you know where people want to have funerals at. Now, I know some of them do have funerals at funeral homes, and you got them real dry ones, you know, when they got the cremated person up there and get up there and they'll get up there and say something, you know, and it's weird. I'm going to tell you something, that's a strange thing. When you get up to a funeral where a person has passed off into eternity and they get up there and don't even have a prayer. Mm-hmm. And they get up there and say, "well, will you say a few words about to go?" Well, what are you going to say? Well, you know, the thing is, people need churches. I mean, people will join churches just so they can get buried in the back there. They become a member of the church, and you don't see them again until they die. Well, that's what kind of world we're living in now. Well, it's good to get, you know, when you read this right here in the verse, you say, is all that in that verse? I believe so. It's a crowd of people here, and it says, with the children of Israel had brought for the work. And you got work and service in there together. It's work, but it's also a service to the Lord. And so you've got a whole bunch of people. Now, if they don't offer their service to the Lord, nothing's going to get done. Why? Because most of these churches that really do something that I think that's really close to the Bible, a lot of them are just small congregations of people. Now, I realize that there are some big churches. I mean, that's just like Holy Hills up there. They're a larger church, and they believe the King James Bible. I'll tell you something, if anybody believes a book, that's Brother Dennis now. He believes it. but you know, you got some other ones around. There's, Jacksonville, Florida and stuff. But for the most part, you got smaller congregations, and it's going to take service, and service is going to require work. And I thank God that He's still calling workers, and I know He's able. But at the same time, we see the importance of that in our text. Well, this is a major thing. Look, when we're talking about this tabernacle and this work that they're doing, there are several chapters left of them detailing this thing out and talking about what all it entails and talking about how they built it and how they put it together. Look, God saw it so important that He took that much. So when we read a verse like this, we know it's important. You know what I know? It may not seem like it's real important, but this right here, what we're doing tonight, is important.
Amen. Yes. Right.
And I tell you this from my soul, I can tell when I'm not able to come. I know, you know, with all the sickness and everything happened for that whole several Sundays all at once, everything just seemed to happen all at once. I could feel a depression creeping in my heart, man. And a weakness, just to be completely dead honest with you, I felt a weakness creeping in. Well, I desired to be back around people who believe the book and just be able to stand behind this pulpit, just be able to sing a song of praise. And I look at the house, I sing song. I mean, I get on Carl and the kids' nerves probably singing sometimes, but at the same time, it's not the same as it is when you're singing with other believers, or at least a crowd, especially of other believers. It's something that God knows that us getting together is a strengthening effect. And I'll tell you something, if Christians who can meet in fellowship with other Christians and they don't, and they think it's not going to affect them, they're wrong. It will affect you.
Right.
Now, you may not be able to see it right off, but after a little while, it's going to affect you. And it's service and work. Service, it may be work, but it's a good, at least you're serving. He says in verse 4, "And all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they made. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make." Now, you won't hear a report like that very often. "Not only did they bring something, but much more than was enough." Okay, so the people brought it. Now, I want to say something about this service here. In Ephesians chapter, I believe it's chapter 6. Ephesians 6. Bible says in Ephesians 6 verse 7. It says, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. That is one of the most key verses that has to do with service and work in the Lord. You better do it as to the Lord and not to men.
Yeah.
Because anything we do as to men, I'll tell you this, I wish I could tell you I had a good enough testimony to tell you I didn't ever fail, but I do. But men are going to fail you.
Mm-hmm.
God will never fail. That's why the Bible says God is faithful. Now, since He's faithful and worthy to be served and worthy to be praised, we want to bring, He said, even much more than enough for the service. But it has to do with the service of the Lord. Now, that lets you know that what you bring is important to God. He recorded this thing right here. Do you know that everything you bring to God, the Bible says, offer yourselves a living sacrifice to the Lord.
Right.
Now, if you bring yourself to God and you say, "Lord, whatever you want me to do." You know, different people have different things they can do and different talents and stuff like that. So, according to the text here, these people have brought much more and this thing is recorded. We forget oftentimes that what you're doing is recorded in heaven. And if you do something for the Lord, it's recorded there. God's taking note of it. And I thank God, there's so many people, y'all, I think they get discouraged because there are a lot of people who can't serve in the capacity they would like to serve in. There are a lot of people who, they may live far from here, but they help all kind of other ministries in different ways. If they don't do nothing else but encourage other believers, that's a help in the Lord. And y'all, I'll tell you something. God's seeing that service and God's paying attention to that. And oftentimes, here's some people here that were right there close. But right now, the way the believers are scattered all over, they'll bond together from distances and help each other. And I thank God for that. I mean, because I mean, I know cell phones and stuff like that. There's a lot of evil goes on, but you can take the enemy's weapon and turn it against him, like that guy over in Samuel did. And you know what we're supposed to do? Take these things and join together and try to figure out how we can help each other.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes just encouraging each other. Sometimes if it ain't nothing else but just sending a text message, that's an encouragement. But he said, for the work of the Lord. Now here's something else about the work. This is another verse that you have to constantly remind yourself of. 1 Corinthians 15, It says the work. All right. So 1 Corinthians 15 verse 58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Yeah. Now, abounding in what? Abounding in the work of the Lord. That entails all kinds of things. Now, he goes on to say, for as much as ye know, here's a good thing to be confident in, that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, a lot of things, I've done a lot of things in vain. I have wasted my time learning stuff. I've wasted my time reading stuff. I've wasted my time watching stuff that I thought was important at the time. But anything you do in the Lord is not in vain. I don't care what it is. If you sign a card for somebody, we've got a card, you want to send things to people, that's not in vain. If any time you spent reading a book, that's not in vain. Anytime you spent praying for somebody, anytime you spent coming and worshiping the Lord, all that stuff's not in vain. That's the stuff that's going to count. And that's the stuff, what's so sad about it, we're living in a society now where that's the stuff nobody puts any stock in. Most people, and you know, they ain't got to tell you. People don't have to say. And I'm not keeping on going, you know, just trying to go on about church and stuff. But a lot of attacks are going on in church. So I'm just going to mention it. Most people, they may not just come out and say, you know, I really don't care for church attendance or supporting church and stuff like that. Well, they don't have to say it. Their actions speaks aloud. They don't say a thing. Yeah. The thing is if anything ever happened church-wise, and let's just say something happened and the government said, all right, look, the Bible's hate speech and you can no longer go to church, do you realize that most people who call themselves Christian, it wouldn't even affect their life anyway? Why, they hadn't been reading the Bible anyway to start with, and they hadn't been going to church anyway.
That's right.
And they said, well, I don't even want you praying. Well, most of it's not going to affect their life because they hadn't even been praying. I go right back over there to Daniel where they said nobody can pray to their God for 30 days. I think it was 30 days over in Daniel. You know what? Daniel said, I can't do that. Do you realize that means that every other person in that whole realm had no more of a relationship for 30 days, wasn't even going to affect anything that had to do with their relationship with God other than Daniel. Well, of course, I'm sure it didn't mention other three, but it's honing in on Daniel. But I'm just saying, do you realize most of this world, if they ruled out what we know and believe in the Bible to be biblical Christianity, it wouldn't affect most people. Why? Because there's a lot of saved people. I believe there's a lot of people saved, but they're not Christians. A Christian, the Bible said they were called Christian as in Antioch. A Christian is somebody who is suffering and serving for the Lord Jesus Christ. Suffering for and serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's how you get things done in the Lord, is people having a work, always abounding in it, and doing it as unto the Lord and not unto men. That's so important because that means they'll do it outside of here. That means it's not just something I do inside this church or anything like that. That means I want to serve God here. Yes, I want to praise His name here, but I want to go outside those doors and actually take what I learned here and apply it out there. Now I know that's simple, but I tell you something, it's not being done. Why? Because how in the world, if you've got as many people that say that they're Christians, how in the world is this world corrupting like it is? Well, why? Because Christians are salt. They keep the world from corrupting. So there's obviously not very much salt in the world. Now we know God said it wasn't going to be. So what's our job? All right, my job is this, and your job is this as Christians. To serve the Lord, because these people here are serving and things are getting done, and what needs the main thing, what God thinks. Do you think the rest of the world thought getting a tabernacle up was very important? A tabernacle out here in the wilderness, what good is that going to do? But they got it done. Well, you know what? Our job as Christians is being salt in our family, being salt in our workplace. All right, well, the rest of the workplace, they talk crazy and they're doing things like, okay, well, I'm just the one, I put some salt in here and I'm the one that's not talking like that. I'm the one that's not laughing at the bad jokes. I'm the one, why? Because there's got to be salt somewhere. So our job is to go out and be salt and hold forth the word of life where we're at and shine it on the darkness. And say, hey, You know, there's at least one Christian in there. And that's a blessing right there. I mean, that counts there. They're doing something out in the wilderness that people thinking, what are these? They're peculiar people. And so it's the work. Now, the God commanded. They did something about what God was commanding. Verse number 6, and Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, this is interesting here, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. They said, all right, that's it. We don't need any more work for it. Why? So the people were restrained from bringing. So much got done that they said, all right, we don't need anything else. Nobody bring anything else. Now, you know what that tells me? How disappointed must those people have been who had held back at first, said, I'm not going to, you know, I know there's a need. I know they've got this thing going on. But you know what? I'm going to go down there and I'm going to offer something today. I know I hadn't been doing anything, but I'm going to start today, because a lot of times I preach, I say, look, if you hadn't been doing anything, you do it. Well, what if one of these days, boom, God says, that's it. Call them home. Go get your church. And the Lord Jesus, and guess what? A lot of people have been saying, man, I'm going to offer. I'll tell you what, tomorrow, start tomorrow. Well, the Lord said, don't have any more need. We got everything done now. It's all done. You know, one of these days, the work's going to be done. Mm-hmm. One of these days, all the songs are going to be sang that he won't sing. One of these days, all the preaching's going to be done that he won't preach. All the praying's going to be done, he won't pray. All the money's going to be given, all that stuff's going to be done. All the Bibles that he wanted to give out are going to be given out. All the tracts he wanted to give out are going to be given out. And guess what? He's going to say, okay, call them home, and now we're getting to a whole different new program. And I'm going to tell you something. When that rapture of the church happens, things are going to speed up and things are going to take a completely different turn. And when you read that verse right there, the people restrained, so the people were restrained. Now look, if somebody wasn't still willing to give, he wouldn't have had to restrain anybody. Man, I didn't give anything. I had intended on giving. Man, surely you need something, some more gold. Surely, yeah, we can always have gold. Don't need another thing. You imagine how they must have felt. Now, I tell you something. As I read that verse right there, I think, man, I tell you something. If any time is the time to do something for the Lord, now's the time to do it. Why? Because one of these days, he's going to say, we're done. I got more than enough. My Gentile, the body of Christ, he's getting out of Gentile body predominantly, which we know Jews are getting saved too. But I'm just saying, one day he's going to be done. And man, I tell you something, as you read that verse right there, it says, for the stuff they had, I like how that Bible talks, for the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. Well, that's rare right there. Mm-hmm. You know, it gets me, this is the Old Testament, they don't even have the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and we do. Mm-hmm. And there's so much work that needs to be done in the world today, it's just literally unreal. Now, there's people working, though, I'll tell you. There are. And what amazes me is oftentimes the people who will work themselves plumb to death. oftentimes, the small percentage of people who will work, unless they're just told to slow down or something, that's like some of these preachers. I know for a fact, I've talked to one guy, this one preacher, he's close to 70. He preaches at his church. He visits his church. He prays for his church, all this stuff. He takes every single meeting he can take and goes to all these meetings, comes back, gets back, goes, you know, he preaches his church, goes, and sometimes he'll get on a plane and go to another place, come back to his church, preach on, get ready to go to another meeting. Why? You know what he's trying to do? He knows that one day it'll be his last sermon. And you know what? It's one man doing all that stuff. And you got many men like him doing that. But I'm just saying, as far as the whole, not many people are just doing what they can. Do you know what he's doing? He's just doing what he can. And he's like, you know, other people are like, you need to slow down. He's like, no, I need to do more. And he's enjoying. You know what that is? That's enjoying your walk with the Lord. When you enjoy, I tell you what, time goes by so fast. Sometimes you'll be visiting with family or doing something. You get over there and before long, you've been talking to one of your friends and all of a sudden an hour go by. You're like, man, I can't believe an hour just went. Well, when you're serving the Lord, it's kind of like Jacob when he was serving for Rachel. It said those 7 years went by just like it seemed just like a few days. Why? Because he was serving out of the correct motive. Well, man, when you're doing something for the Lord, he just has a holy energy about it. And he just energizes your service. And he just gives you a wind in your sails, so to speak. And man, you just got plenty of energy for what he wants you to do. And then, not only that, but when you know that God wants you to do something, when you're in here studying for a message or something like that and you love it, it's not work. You're going through these pages, and before long, you're looking through, let's just say, Daniel chapter number 5. I was looking at some verses out of there. And man, before long, I said, I'll tell you what, I'm just going to run 2 or 3 references here. Before I knew it, 25 minutes just went by. I mean, like at the snap of a finger. And I thought, my, I better get back on what I started on. You ever done that? You ever been reading? And you'll look over here. If you're like me, you got a reference, Bob. You'll see that note A. You say, oh, okay, let me turn one. And before long, you turned another, and you turned another, and before long, you way from where you started. Well, that's how that walk with God. God will show you something else, and you keep walk with Him. And I tell you how it is. I was on the phone with a good friend of mine the other day, and I was coming around the curve of the road, and I was looking out in the woods there, and I was always, you know, I'm always talking about these C10 pickups, you know. Well, I saw a Chevrolet 1972 Chevrolet C10 pickup out in the woods. I've been driving, I ain't been paying any attention. I've been driving by that place all the time and look out there. Well, it's been there the whole time. I just noticed it. Well, when you're walking with the Lord in the pages of His Bible and walking in the ways of God, you'll be walking down through there and you've been going by those ways in life, and all of a sudden the Lord said, you know something, I want to show you about that right there. You know, the Bible talks about honey in the rock. Yeah, okay, well, Lord, what do you mean by honey in the rock? Well, you can get sweetness out of hard times too. Oh, well, Lord, you know, what do you mean by that? Well, think about all those hard times you went through your life, and then after that, something sweet happened after that, and you actually got something to give you strength, some enlightenment. You know, Jonathan said, man, I tasted this honey, and it enlightened my eyes. Well, sometimes you're going along the walk of life with the Lord, and something, a hardness will come into your life, and you're like, oh, man, here it is again. Here's another rock. And the Lord's like, yeah, I need you to get some sweetness out of that rock. And sometimes it just takes walking with the Lord to see that I never saw it like that, Lord. That sure is right, and I see that. And y'all oftentimes, in your walk with the Lord, we run out of time, and the older we get, we realize, I would have done this different, that different. But I tell you what, you'll never regret. You'll never be able to look back and say, man, I wish I hadn't done so much for the Lord. That's one thing you'll never regret. So that's time well spent. We'll go over another thing or two. I want to get down here to verse 13 at least. It says, and every wise-hearted man among them that wrought the work of the tabernacle made 10 curtains of fine twined linen, and blue and purple and scarlet, with cherubims of cunning work made he them. The length of one curtain was 28 cubits, and breadth of one curtain 4 cubits. The curtains were all of one size. And he coupled 5 curtains, one unto another. And the other 5 curtains he coupled one unto another. And he made loops of blue on the edge of one curtain from the sleevage in the coupling. Likewise, he made in the uttermost side of another curtain in the coupling of the second. 50 loops made he in one curtain, and 50 loops made he in the edge of the curtain which was in the coupling of the second. The loops held one curtain to another. This is neat right here. And he made 50 tatches of gold and coupled the curtains one unto another with the tatches. Watch this. So it became one tabernacle. Mm-hmm. You know what he was doing all that stuff? He was seaming it together. You know what that tabernacle, it didn't have any leaks in it. They had that thing where it was all one unit together. That's why he made it like that. He was telling them how to make it. Now look, you know they didn't know how to make that thing the way God wanted it made. But as long as they followed the directions, it came out as one unit. Now, I want to say something about this thing being one unit here. I'm going to read a verse to you out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and try to tie this in to us here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Bible says in verse number 20, "But now are they many members, but yet one body." Now, I'm going to read another verse that will match that and then maybe tell you something here. Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians 2. Verse number 20. Speaking of the household of God, we're in that household now. We're adopted sons of God. It says, "And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom," we're in Christ, so in Christ, "all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord." Fitly, just like he's fitting these things, we read that stuff, he fitted all together so it was one unit there, it was one tabernacle. He said, "You're fitly framed together so you'll be one unit." Now what's this? We don't know how to do it. We don't know how to become a unit. Sure. Not spiritually. We have no idea what it takes to become a unit in the body of Christ. That's why we got to follow his directions. And sometimes it don't make any sense. You imagine them taking those directions, saying, "Now look, this couple in right here, we're going to take these five curtains and we're going to put these one on another. And these other five curtains, now God's given us skill and wisdom. And they got all these curtains laid out and everything." And you imagine having all that stuff laid out and starting to, y'all ever put, I tell you what, I helped Keith Thurman one year put one of those fireworks tents together. And man, we laid all that stuff out, and I'm gonna tell you something. I'd never put a tent together at all. And I was helping him, and man, me and Heath Von Cannon, a few more, we had all that stuff laid out. And I said, "Man, this is gonna take forever." I'm gonna tell you something. Those guys had put a bunch of those tents up together, and man, it wasn't long. They put them poles up like this, and they put that thing up in this way, and they pulled a couple of these strings. And I'm not kidding you. No time at all that tent was up. He's like, "Load, put them fireworks." He's ready to make some money. Well, you know what? The Lord had that thing, so as long as they followed the directions, that thing came up and it was one unit. Mm-hmm. Now, you know what we're going to have to do in the Lord? There are going to come things in the future that we don't understand. There are going to come things in the future that we just quite frankly, just don't seem to make sense. And it's going to be like everything's all laid out. And the Lord said, "Yeah, but if you'll follow my directions, we'll put this together and it'll all be one unit." In the body of Christ, there are different people. Different people have different gifts. Different people have different levels of understanding. And the only way to hold it all together through Jesus, all things consist, is to actually read his directions, but then do something about it. Now, I know y'all know this, but it bears repeating. If they had read these directions and said, "All right, I got the directions, there's all the parts," but they didn't do what it took to pick it up and work to put it together, it wouldn't have came together. One thing about staying close together in the body of Christ is it takes work. Any relationship that you're in takes work. Any marriage, a marriage takes work. Friendship takes work. Any relationship is going to take work. Now, you don't have to work to get saved. But I tell you this right here. If you're going to maintain a fellowship with the Lord, it's going to take you working with him and following his directions. Now, I can tell you this in closing. If we'll do that right there, we'll be a unit fitly framed together, and you'll have some spiritual reward on the other side. But if we don't do that, I can tell you this right here. That thing will sit down there, and you can tell them, "Man, that's a tent." And people are going to say, "Well, don't look like a tent to me." You can tell people, "Man, that's a body right there." And people are going, "That don't look anything like a body." But if we'll follow the Lord, it'll look like something in him. Let's close out in prayer.